So, I'll be honest. I felt weird reading this parable out loud in church. This parable, this story Jesus is telling, is about two people who go to the temple to pray. The temple is the place to encounter God. It's where sacrifices were offered to make amends for wrongs people have done, where worship services were held multiple times a day, and where God's people gathered to hear God's story and learn more about living in God's world. The temple is also a place where people pray. And so that's what the Pharisee and the tax collector in our story go to do. They go to the temple to meet God. And here we are, all of us in this place doing the same thing. And what makes it a little awkward, at least for me, is that I'm the one up here in this white robe with my colorful stole, and I'm standing up here on this altar space all by myself. So maybe I resemble the Pharisee in today's story just a little too much. But that's one of the reasons for parables. Jesus told these stories using familiar symbols, images, and experiences so that his listeners could find themselves becoming characters in the story. The words as they leave Jesus' lips do more than invite us into the story. They carry us into it. So, the religious teacher, standing apart in the fancy robes and carrying the symbols of being an observant person. Well, Jesus' words grab me. So if I'm the Pharisee, then who here today is our tax collector? Now, I'm not going to wait for someone to raise their hand. And I'm not going to give us time to dart our eyes back and forth, wondering if the person sitting next to us is that tax collector or not. But I won't blame anyone if my question kicked off an immediate reaction to look and see who is around. Whenever I'm part of a crowd and we're asked that kind of question, it reminds me of being in school, sitting at my desk and the teacher, who is standing at the blackboard asking a question, and no one answers. There's a moment of uncomfortable silence. The teacher's eyes scan the classroom, trying to see if anyone will answer. But everyone else, of course, is trying to avoid the teacher's eyes, because if we don't make eye contact, then maybe we won't get called on. Instead, my eyes would dart from classmate to classmate, wondering if they would answer. And if I caught a friend doing the same thing, we'd lock eyes with each other for just a moment, and then shrug. Caught in that silent moment, the entire class would wait and see who would take the bait, who would raise their hand and separate themselves from the rest of us. Who would do more than just answer the question? Who would become an other? Become someone different? Become that person who actually answered the question? Those eyes, darting back and forth in an almost unconscious way, is a key, I think, to understanding this parable. When we seek to find the other, look for that different kind of person who we believe is there, we end up losing sight of just what God is doing. Now, today's parable seems to be about twos. We have two people, a Pharisee and a tax collector. And it looks like we have two options, two chances to label one of them as good and the other as bad. The parable tells us this Pharisee is a religious teacher, a leader, and he's faithful. He visits the temple, he fasts, he gives away one-tenth of his income. And when he prays, he doesn't speak totally off the cuff. He speaks words that echo what we hear in some of the Psalms. But the kicker in verse 14 seems to tell us that this Pharisee is to be the other, to be the negative, which forces us to look at this tax collector. He, like the Pharisee, goes to the temple. We don't know why he's there, but something is compelling him to ask for God's mercy. And I think the story assumes that this desire for mercy is job-related. As a tax collector, he did more than get people to just pay their taxes. He worked as an agent, financially supporting the Roman Empire that occupied his country. His job allowed him to be corrupt, to be abusive, and charge fees beyond what the Roman Empire asked for. His neighbors, when they saw him, saw an enemy of the people. Yet this tax collector goes to the temple, and while there, he prays, using words from the Psalms too. He sounds like someone who is repenting, someone who is turning around and committing himself to God. He sounds suddenly faithful, suddenly earnest, and someone who will stop being the tax collector he was. We imagine his life is changed, and that we can see that change in what he does next. But Jesus never tells us that. This tax collector, an enemy of God's own people, is made right with God, and that's it. So in this parable of twos, this parable with the Pharisee on one side and the tax collector on the other, we seem called to choose the side of the tax collector and avoid being that Pharisee. But the thing about the Pharisee is that Jesus never totally condemns him. In fact, the Pharisee does many of the things that Jesus does. Jesus prays. Jesus goes to the temple. Jesus fasts. And Jesus encourages generosity. And even when Jesus ends up on the cross, the words that come from his lips come from the Psalms. There's a lot that the Pharisee does that Jesus encourages and supports. And when it comes to the tax collector, we celebrate his humility. We celebrate that moment at the temple when he asked for God's mercy. But the text doesn't say he repents. He never pledges to repay everyone he's hurt, and he never tries to fix all the pain he's caused. We can't even be sure what kind of mercy the tax collector was actually asking for, because the parable stops short. It ends too soon. It leaves us with a tax collector heading home. And he never stops being a tax collector. And when the Pharisee heads home, he never stops being himself either. In our desire to seek out the other, to assume that one of these characters is someone we should mimic, and follow while the others should be pushed to the side and ignored. We fall into the temptation to divide people into groups. In our rush to celebrate the tax collector, we push aside the Pharisee, not realizing that our dividing of people puts us on the side of the Pharisee. The Pharisee in today's story doesn't have a problem splitting people into groups. He has no problem pushing those who are not like him to the side. He's got his faith, he's got his relationship with God, he has his identity, and he knows that others should be like him too. The Pharisee puts a line between himself and the tax collector, and we put a line between the tax collector and the Pharisee. But the truth of this parable is that when these kinds of lines are drawn, the line drawers will always find God on the other side. This parable is less about where lines are drawn and more about what God is doing to the lines themselves. The Pharisee, in his rush to judgment, has decided who is in and who is out. In our rush to look at two options in the parable and decide who to support and who to push in the margins, we become that kind of judge. We know little of the story of the Pharisee or the tax collector, yet with only a few verses under our belt, we render judgment. We separate into sides. We decide who is in and who is out, who is worth knowing and who is not. We decide who are the Pharisees and who are the tax collectors. We set the lines, set the borders, build the walls to keep others out. And we miss how God is undoing the boundaries we build. We too quickly engage each other first with judgment. A judgment without understanding, a judgment without empathy, a judgment without any attempt to see as Jesus sees. We start our engagement with others with judgments instead of, in the words of Reverend Caroline Lewis, leading with love and generosity. When we fall on the side of the Pharisee in today's parable, we do more than just judge. We also forget a bit of who we are. We forget our own story. We are here in this space, part of God's people, not because we are perfect, but because we are known. All those bits of who we are that are joyful and happy and completely lovable are known to God. And all those bits that are in sorrow, depressed, hurting, and those parts of us we feel are totally unlovable, that's all known by God too. We are all tax collectors. We are all Pharisees. And God doesn't ask us to split ourselves into pieces. God asks us to know just who we are. To know that we need mercy, and to know that we are fully known. And God declares us loved anyways. Amen.